Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. Straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control. Hey. I'm a bad motherfucker, riding through the night. Hey. A 50 motherfucker and I love to fight. Picture me rolling on my chopper on red. No love for the other side, no need to be friends. Get the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing. Got an out, chin, check the dose, and need to ask for the ticket. That's a ticket, man, I ain't gon' pay. Gotta do 30 days locked up at CJ. Twist the throttle, let's hit the rolling. My drag pipes on my bike, get the blow in. A third motherfucker street calling me. Like a mom calls the kids when it's time to eat. Come on. Approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I'm like half the motherfuckers that live in my hood. I'm a 10-year rolling to the bone. Put 10 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Fuck what you heard, homie, I'ma always hit a ball. My homeboys my rubber, but we never ever fall. At the end of the day, we can always stand tall. The gov don't like me, oh fucking well. I guess you could call me the angel from hell.
Hello, hello, hello.
So, what's the weather like?
Right now, we're in the middle of a really intense storm. And so, yeah, lots of lightning, heavy rain. It's a gusty one. Woohoo! Gotta love the thunderstorms. It's gonna be like this on and off all week. It's gonna be crazy. I just hope you don't get flooded. Yeah. I don't need to be digging water out of the basement. So, how was your weekend? How was your Memorial weekend? Did you do anything?
Yeah, everything was good.
Good.
Went to the, started out Saturday at a bikini bike wash.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, got the bike a little soapy, eh?
Oh, they asked me what they couldn't get wet and what they could get wet, yeah.
Well, you know, there are women that, girls, whatever, they don't know how to wash a bike properly.
Well, they did a nice little job.
No, what I mean is if they're not mechanically inclined, okay, I mean, I've told friends of mine, hey, don't pressure wash certain parts of your motor. You know what I mean? Get the gunk off. Because
no,
if you hit certain things. Oh.
No, this is all by hand.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to see what they look like, you can go to the blog and just type in bikini bike wash and it will come up.
I saw pictures of that floating around.
Floating around where?
And Facebook.
Oh, yeah?
Because past guests that you've had on the show went there. Or got their bikes done. Yeah. They even laughed about who got phone numbers and who didn't.
I didn't get phone numbers. I got business cards with all the contact information.
Cool.
Yeah, then
it should be.
We're going to talk to him about, I wasn't there to get phone numbers. I was there conducting business.
Oh, exactly. But, you know, others don't. You know what I mean?
No, well, you know, I mean, if you're trying to pick up a girl at a bikini bike wash, you need to check yourself.
Yeah, well, you know, guys pick up women in strange places. I don't even want to go there.
Yeah. And I talked to Jim, I talked to Mariana, talked to everybody really.
Cool.
Yeah, we got there's a lady named Rhonda. She should call in. And she'll tell you about a few things. I'll let her tell them.
Okay.
It was a good time. And then
right.
Henry showed up and Henry is one of my bosses, and he showed up and he got to get his bike washed and have some pictures taken. It was good.
Thanks. So how's the family and everybody?
Yeah, it was a good day for everybody.
Good. Yeah, I actually cooked out Sunday because we were supposed to get storms, you know, on Monday. And I figured, okay, well, I'll just cook out on Sunday, get it done early, and don't have to worry about it, you know. Well, did we get any storms Monday? No. So mad. Then I go to cook out today. You know, and the skies are looking kind of ominous. I'm like, oh, cool, I'll get everything done before, you know, it starts raining. Nope, I got caught in the rain, but I was just pulling the food off, so it was cool. Caught it at the right time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was just a good weekend all around.
Right.
And
They did pass the conceal and carry here. The only thing is, you have to get an ID at the police department to carry. That's the only thing mandatory for the conceal and carry now in Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that.
I mean, it's not like you can take them on a bus or on the old train or anything like that, but, you know, at least now people can conceal and carry. I don't know why you need an ID, but, you know, I don't know much of the gun laws. I know I had quite a few. I had quite a lot. You know, got rid of them years ago, but they didn't have that stuff then. You know, I would go out and I'd pop one off, you know, in the backyard. And broad daylight, the station's just down the street from my house, you know. And I'd see my neighbors. Do you guys hear anything? No? Okay.
You better be careful with that.
What?
Where'd you shoot, in the ground or up in the air?
No, at the ground. I know better not to pop it up in the air.
Yeah.
Because they can land and hit anybody, you know. But after cleaning and stuff, you know, I just want to make sure they fired right, you know. So I just pop pop, and then that was it with one pop pop, you know. And like I said, they don't bother me to begin with. But personal reasons, I had to get them out, you know. And so sold them off. Plus all the ammo and everything, just got it out.
Yeah.
Then when I have any problems, you know, I don't have a void, you know. But like I said, they weren't illegal guns, you know. It was just I had somebody that was trying to commit suicide, and you know, okay, that's it. Gotta get them out.
Well. So. There was a lot of stuff going on this weekend. It seems they signed into a executive order, and I'm going to play it right now.
Okay.
This one is proof of upcoming martial law. Okay. Yeah, let me get into this. I'll be right back.
To here, I've got some news. I've done some research and looked for possible other videos out there about this, and there were very few, so that means there's not a lot of coverage on this, and it's really important. Obama back in March 16th of this year, which means if, you know, this is the case, he's done this behind our backs. Signed executive order 13603. I'm telling you, we're in trouble, folks. Listen to this. Through executive order 13603, Obama gave himself the power to control all vital aspects of our nation. The Tea Party has a research team has dug this up and is still digging up more information at this time. However, what we know now is this. Seizing all forms of civil transportation. Obama especially wrote civil, not public, in the name of a national emergency, which he has yet to define, which in turn means that he can define it any way he wants to. He can grab all forms of transportation civilians use, including your vehicle, trucks, delivery vehicles, boats, ships, city buses, trains, airplanes, motorcycles, scooters, snowmobiles, tractors. The secret plan went into action right under our nose just a few months ago, and I'm really shocked that nobody has really got this out there to get viral, because this is something that is absolutely huge. It's just as big as the Patriot Act. People, we need to wake up and get this information out there, and I mean, like, quick style. Obama doesn't stop there at transportation. He goes on and will grab the food right out of your mouth. All commodities and products capable of being ingested by either human or animal. In other words, all food products, growing, picked, and in stores, including farm crops, inventory in grocery stores, grandma's garden vegetables, your vegetable garden, your canned goods, dog food, livestock feed, survival food cache, fish from fish farms, fruit from orchards. And guess what? There's more. He is also the health resources, which include, but are not limited to, drugs, biological products, medical services, materials, devices, facilities, health supplies, services, and equipment. This includes hospitals, vitamin stores, wheelchair suppliers, oxygen providers, drug stores, first aid supplies, Red Cross, medical insurance companies. And the savage doesn't stop there. He goes on to give also the power to the government to take over all forms of energy, solar energy farms, wind turbine projects, Niagara Falls electric plant, your home generator, hydroelectric dams, city power plants, use and all usable water from all sources, Mississippi River, the Great Lakes, Colorado River, and all rivers. All ponds, all wells, all watersheds, all snow melts, all bottled water companies. Do you know what this means? All of you preppers out there who plan on taking off and trying to survive in the wilderness, he just took over the entire country, all of its natural resources, everything that you have, nothing you own is now solely yours. It can be taken from or by the government, taken from you by the government because of this executive order. We thought the Patriot Act was bad, people. This one is screaming Hitler, okay? I'm just shocked. Executive Order 13603, get this video out, make it viral, for crying out loud. People, you need to wake up. And if you are awake, you need to help others wake up. You need to do your part. Get this video out there as soon as possible, like now. Like, click like. Do whatever you got to do with this video. Get it out there. I put the link to the executive order at the bottom of this video. If you use my video, you have full permission to re-upload this video. Excuse me. But be sure to add the executive order with it as well. God bless America.
Yep, here, I got another one. Hold on. Our
martial law is coming to the USA in 2013. Played the wrong one.
Hey, YouTube, Alana 70.
This is the one I was looking for right here.
Okay.
Concentration camps, a phenomenon that the Chinese Communist Party is desperately trying to cover up.
After 2.5 long years of imprisonment, the interns were finally released.
Anybody that seeks to challenge the status quo would potentially be a violent threat.
You guys do music that makes you a work day.
What if gun control? What if martial law? What if they disrupt the gym?
$5 million.
Coordinate information from the CIA to the FBI to the state police as well as the local police.
The biggest problem with all of this is there's no oversight.
And did you know they've been sued? They're supposed to be watching for terrorists, but they've actually gone after protesters.
Yeah, even conspiracy theorists.
Conspiracy theorists. Yes, even conspiracy theorists. Obama's regulatory czar, Kat Sunstein, has written a paper saying that conspiracy theorizers should be banned altogether. Mike German spent 16 years as an FBI special agent, infiltrating terror cells and preventing acts of terrorism before 9/11. A few years after 9/11, he got so fed up with the foul-ups and abuses within the Bureau, he quit. Now he's focused on reining in those fusion centers.
It develops in such secrecy with no guidelines and no oversight, so the public really has no way to hold these institutions accountable.
Executive orders over the years give the president the claimed authority to do all kinds of extraordinary things, like round up Americans and intern them without due process.
Can we go through some of these executive orders?
Sure. Well, I think the first big one was Lincoln during the Civil War. He ordered embargoes and blockades of southern ports, known as suspended habeas corpus. But FDR, by executive order, ordered the detention of American citizens. They were American citizens, but they happened to be of Japanese descent. They corralled up over 100,000 of them were interned for years. No due process at all.
Some among them were potentially dangerous. Most were loyal. But no one knew what would happen among this concentrated population if Japanese forces should try to invade our shores. Military authorities therefore determined that all of them, citizens and aliens alike, would have to move. This picture tells how the mass migration was accomplished.
Evacuation. More than 100,000 men, women, and children, all of Japanese ancestry, removed from their homes in the Pacific Coast states to wartime communities established in out-of-the-way places. Their evacuation did not imply individual disloyalty, but was ordered to reduce the military hazard at a time when danger of invasion was great. Two-thirds of the evacuees are American citizens by right of birth. The rest are their Japanese-born parents and grandparents. They are not under suspicion. They are not prisoners. They are not internees. They are merely
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Wednesday, the 23rd day of January, year of our Lord, 2013. Well, it's 13 degrees here, deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks, on the way to a high of about 48 degrees. Not bad for the middle of winter. Got a message last night from my high-level FEMA contact on the East Coast, reinforcing messages we've been getting that martial law will take place in this country no later than June. I say again, martial law will take place, be enforced in this country no later than June. We're getting these reports from a number of sources. I have my several private sources. Doug Hagman has his, Steve Quayle has his. We're all basically getting very similar information. So, we're off to the races here, ladies and gentlemen. What's going to happen in the next 6 months? I don't know. I know what could happen. I don't know what will happen. I know I'll be hammered for reporting what my sources are telling me, which is raw intelligence. Raw intelligence that has not been analyzed from my various sources. What choice do I have? I'm not going to withhold it from all of you. I've gone to some effort to develop sources inside FEMA.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly reporting tonight from South Florida. Thanks for watching us. Are we the people responsible for the chaos that is enveloping America? That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. The folks are indeed responsible for the government they get. Germans could have thrown Hitler out. They did not. Russians fought hard for Stalin. The Chinese surrendered to Mao. The Cubans allowed Fidel Castro to take away their liberty. The folks are responsible. Yesterday, the Government Accountability Office, the nonpartisan investigative arm of Congress, released its annual audit of the U.S. government. The report covers the fiscal years 2011 and 12. The conclusion of the report is this, quote, absent policy changes, the federal government continues to face an unsustainable fiscal path. Let me repeat that. Absent policy changes, the federal government continues to face an unsustainable fiscal path. If the feds do not stop the wild spending and do not reform Medicare and Social Security, the U.S. dollar will collapse. That means that all of our savings, all of our investments, our homes, and everything else will blow up before our eyes.
In a military drill in downtown Miami, complete with these Black Hawk helicopters, elite soldiers, and police officers swarming the streets. It's kind of scary when you suddenly look up and see that, but it's all about being prepared for the unknown of urban combat.
And if you came across that scene that you just saw tonight, well, it likely left you in awe. Local 10 photographers, along with reporter Christina Vasquez, were there to witness it all. Christina.
In awe, and as you mentioned, it can be quite alarming. Seven, we counted them, seven Blackhawks thundered across downtown Miami. And we're going to take a pause here so you can listen in, so you can appreciate what it sounded like to be there.
Joint military drill with the Department of Defense and Miami-Dade County Police. The rest, we are told, is classified, but for being a secret operation, it was certainly conducted, as you see, in such a public way, in full public view, as they made their way from downtown Miami over to Marlins Park and then roared right back. I can tell you that a similar drill was conducted on Tuesday night. I know that because I saw it firsthand. That was actually, as you watch the images from tonight, on Tuesday night, I was on the MacArthur Causeway with my husband as we saw, once again, seven Blackhawks coming toward us, heading toward the beach. And what really caught our eye is how low they were flying. I mean, they were just hovering right above the causeway, certainly something you do not see every day. At the time, we actually thought perhaps it was a movie shoot. Coming back out here alive, I'm certain a lot of the folks that were in that area, as they saw that, maybe that's also what they thought it was. But it was, as once again we are told, a joint military drill. We asked all the questions you might imagine about what was conducted today, but we are told, Lori and Calvin, that all of that information cannot be released to the public.
And any indication, Christina, if we'll see this again tomorrow night or through the weekend?
Classified.
Classified.
You know, there's a reason why they do that. You know, there's a reason why they do that. We're sharing these images with you because no doubt there were people in the buildings, on the streets, taking a look at that. We want to make sure you understand what was happening. But there's, important on their end to make sure that that information does remain secret. So this is a drill, as you said, Lori, to keep us all safe.
That's right. Well, impressive and disturbing.
And how long have I been telling you about 3 years now about all these night ops? Nobody believes me. Like this one right here. Where is it here? Yeah, right here. Check this one out.
But we begin tonight with a tale of two speeches, both from the same man, both from President Obama. One speech that could have been billed as a ballad to the Constitution, a proclamation of American values, a repudiation of the lawless behavior of the last presidential administration, and another speech announcing a radical new claim of presidential power that is not afforded by the Constitution and that has never been attempted in American history, even by George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Remarkably, President Obama today made both of those speeches simultaneously. Standing inside the National Archives in front of the actual original Constitution, President Obama delivered a blistering critique of the Bush administration, in which he called their actions and their legacy literally a mess.
Government made a series of hasty decisions. Poorly planned, haphazard approach. Too often, we set those principles aside as luxuries that we could no longer afford. Our government made decisions based on fear rather than foresight. The decisions that were made over the last 8 years established an ad hoc legal approach for fighting terrorism that was neither effective nor sustainable.
An ad hoc legal approach for fighting terrorism that was neither effective nor sustainable. Ouch. Then, moments later, he announced his own ad hoc legal approach for fighting terrorism. President Obama today proposed something new, something called prolonged detention. Doesn't sound that bad, right? Prolonged detention. Did you ever see the movie Minority Report? It was based on a Philip K. Dick short story. It came out in 2002. It starred Tom Cruise, remember? He played a police officer in something called the Department of Pre-Crime. Pre-crime is where people are arrested and incarcerated to prevent crimes that they have not yet committed.
Mr. Marks,
by mandate of the District of Columbia Pre-Crime Division, I'm placing you under arrest for the future murder of Sarah Marks and Donald Dubinos. Take place today, April 22nd, at 0800 hours, 4 minutes.
No, I didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything, but you're gonna. Future murder. Creepy, right? Putting somebody in jail, not for what they've done, but...
Believe that shit? It's coming.
I know.
Okay.
For what you're very sure they're going to do?
There may be a number of people who cannot be prosecuted for past crimes. In some cases, because evidence may be tainted. But who nonetheless pose a threat to the security of the United States.
We're not prosecuting them for past crimes, but we need to keep them in prison because of our expectation of their future crimes.
Al-Qaeda terrorists and their affiliates are at war with the United States, and those that we capture, like other prisoners of war, must be prevented from attacking us again.
Prevented. We will incarcerate people preventively. Preventive incarceration. Indefinite detention without trial. That's what this is. That's what President Obama proposed today, if you strip away the euphemisms. One civil liberties advocate told the New York Times today, quote, "We've known this was on the horizon for many years, but we were able to hold it off with George Bush. The idea that we might find ourselves fighting with the Obama administration over these powers is really stunning." And it is stunning, particularly to hear President Obama claim the power to keep people in prison indefinitely with no charges against them, no conviction, no sentence, just imprisonment. It's particularly stunning to hear him make that claim in the middle of a speech that was all about the rule of law.
But we must do so with an abiding confidence in the rule of law. Our government was defending positions that undermine the rule of law to ensure that they are in line with the rule of law.
How can a president speak the kind of poetry that President Obama does about the rule of law and call for the power to indefinitely, preventively imprison people because they might commit crimes in the future? How can those two things coexist in the same man, even in the same speech? Well, that brings us to the self-consciously awkward, embarrassing part of this speech today. After condemning the Bush administration for what he called their ad hoc legal strategy for trying to make things seem legal that patently weren't, this is what President Obama proposed.
My administration has begun to reshape the standards that apply to ensure that they are in line with the rule of law. We must have clear, defensible, and lawful standards for those who fall into this category. We must have a thorough process of periodic review so that any prolonged detention is carefully evaluated and justified. Our goal is to construct a legitimate legal framework for the remaining Guantanamo detainees that cannot be transferred. Our goal is not to avoid a legitimate legal framework. In our constitutional system, prolonged detention should not be the decision of any one man. If and when we determine that the United States must hold individuals to keep them from carrying out an act of war, we will do so within a system that involves judicial and congressional oversight. And so going forward, my administration will work with Congress to develop an appropriate legal regime so that our efforts are consistent with our values and our Constitution.
You'll construct a legal regime to make indefinite detention legal. You will develop an appropriate legal regime so you can construct a whole new system outside the courts, even outside the military commissions, so that you can indefinitely imprison people without charges, and you'll build that system from scratch. What's that somebody said about ad hoc legal strategies? Just for context here, in the United Kingdom, where there isn't even a Bill of Rights, there's been a major debate about whether people can be held in preventive detention. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair wanted 3 months to be the outer limit for how long anyone could be held. There was a big political fight about it. Parliament ended up limiting that power to 28 days. 28 days is still the longest period of preventive detention that's allowed under law in any comparable democracy anywhere in the world. long would President Obama's proposed preventive indefinite detention last? Well, he's not saying yet, but here's how he defines the threat that he says makes indefinite detention necessary.
Just in training camps and in crowded cities, there are people plotting to take American lives. That will be the case a year from now, 5 years from now, and in all probability, 10 years from now.
10 years from now. So you could get arrested today and locked up without a trial, without being convicted, without being sentenced for, say, 10 years until the threat of your future criminal behavior passes. Prolonged detention, he's calling it. This is a beautiful speech from President Obama today with patriotic, moving, even poetic language about the rule of law and the Constitution, and one of the most radical proposals for defying the Constitution that we have ever heard made to the American people.
Yep. Just can't get away from it. You know, I got a guy here dying to say something.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know. The air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to riot, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it, my life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
There's another guy who wants to say something.
There's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucked, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
You know, the sad part about this is,
huh?
You can't handle the truth. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm just in regards to the food, the water, everything supplied. What does that mean? He's gonna control everything and what we can have and what we can't have.
Yep.
How much of?
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as kids, it's not like you're that much older than me, but as kids, you know, we came from a different era than kids today. And, you know, there was so much room. There was so much, it was a different atmosphere than what it is today. And kids today don't have that understanding like you and I do. But all they think is, it's not going to happen. Other, you know, adults, it's not going to happen. It's impossible. They can't do this. They can do anything they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, and everybody that has those store cards, you know, to supposedly get discounts, you know, I sit there and I tell them, I said, do you realize they monitor your spending. They know what you buy every time you use those cards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy, you know. But does it stop people from using them? No.
Just like your cell phone. They can download your phone anytime. They can listen to your conversations in your house with your cable box.
I know. You know, when I first started telling that to people, you know, be careful. You can be heard, you know, and who knows, at some point be seen through your cable box. Everybody thought I was nuts. I'm like, okay, whatever. Don't believe me. You know, so whatever you do in private, it ain't private because everybody's watching you or they're hearing you.
Yep. Let me take a break. I'll play a song. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do something. Let me see what happens.
Sweet home Alabama all summer long.
they're jacking with me. I'm trying to get it. We got a caller on Skype.
Phil?
Yeah.
It's Miles. I pressed one for English.
There you go. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good.
I was listening to that video you put on about the martial law.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I'm not holding my breath either way.
Okay.
But I got to tell you one thing that it's been bothering me for a while with our current president and the way he's playing games with the Constitution. Never in my lifetime, and I've lived a fairly long time, have I ever thought that in Washington, D.C., we may have the same thing that happens in some of these banana republics where one morning we wake up and the military has... What do they call it, a coup, where they've thrown out the present administration?
Yeah, a coup.
It would not surprise me terribly anymore.
No.
In fact, I think I'd kind of grin if it happened.
Me too. No, just because of the topic I chose tonight, they're bumping in and out on the server. So they're playing good music. I mean, I can't knock the music.
No, oh, that's him putting on the music and not you?
Yeah.
It took me about 15 times before I could get a good connection. I remember you were telling me over at Rusty's on how they try to jam your signal.
Yeah. And sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't. Today we're kind of bumping heads. But I don't know. I mean, it's just because of the topics I picked, they don't like it.
Yeah, well, they're going after the First and Second Amendment. They're sneaking up on the Fourth, and yet they utilize the Fifth.
Yeah, and like this guy says,
you can't handle the truth.
You know?
Yep. No, there's some stuff I've noticed. Remember when that L.A. cop that former cop was running around shooting down his old brothers, and they had him holed up in San Bernardino before they barbecued him?
Right.
And when they were showing a live feed on television, they had a roadblock up there, and they had a sheriff walking up to every driver with his weapon drawn.
Yeah.
And searching the vehicles.
Yep.
They need, first off, they're not supposed to draw a weapon for no reason. But disregarding that, the Constitution guarantees us to be secure in our private property and papers. And having a cop put a gun in your face saying, I'm going to look into your fucking car, is not making me feel secure in my property and papers.
No, and if you don't do what you're told, you get shot.
Yeah. And what do they say? He reached for the glove compartment.
Yep.
Yeah, I never thought it'd be this way.
No, I didn't either. I didn't join the Marines, and I didn't sign up for this bullshit.
Yeah, well, at least I got a good excuse. I was drafted.
Yeah, I had a good excuse, too. It was a prosecutor, an attorney, a judge.
Oh, you might have had the same guy I did. My attorney went in front of the judge and said, he'll join the Army. And the judge said something about, go ahead. So I did, and then when we went back in front of him with orders about an inch thick, the judge said, if the military took all the paperwork and dropped out of North Vietnam, we'd win.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was, I don't regret one day I spent in the Army.
No, I don't either.
Don't regret was about the third day of reception center because they forgot about us and we slept all day. But, it was a great experience, and I learned a lot. Got some great male role models. And I learned to love my country. And then I 40 years go by, 45, whatever it's been, and I see this crap going on now where those guys from, 8th and I in the Marine Corps, the spit and polish guys, are reduced to fucking umbrella holders?
Yep. That just lit my fuse.
Yes.
You know, the only time that I did volunteer for one thing was when the man asked, the DI asked if anybody had a driver's license, and about 40 hands went up. Yeah, he gave us all a broom, said start at that end and go to the other end. Last time I ever answered to anybody if they asked me if I had a driver's license.
They tried to get me several times to get a driver's license for the M1 Jeep. And I've been driving stick shift since I've been 14. They finally insisted I go out and take the test.
Mm-hmm.
I stuck that thing in a first gear, did a real quick pivot with my left foot on the heel right off the clutch. That fucking Jeep jumped in the air, came down, bounced a couple times, stalled. And I said, I've never driven one of these cars with a clutching transmission before. The guy looks at me and says, you failed the test. You should be ashamed of yourself. I had a hard time hiding that shit-eating grin, but they never bothered me about driving again.
The other time was when I was the first one out the door at 10,000 feet. And I was like, fuck this, man. It's a good airplane. What do I got to go for? And when I was halfway down, I couldn't wait to do it again. It's all going crazy here. I mean, Obama, he decided that everybody's going to get an RFID chip. I don't know if you heard that one. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I've heard that one. I've been so blessed with good health that I avoid doctors. But for instance, you can't go to a doctor now without them asking you if you own firearms.
Hey, you can't go to the VA without them asking you if you own firearms.
I've never used the VA. I didn't like military doctors when I was in.
You know, You know, about 6 weeks ago, and I'm waiting for my other appointment, but I got a letter from North Carolina, from Camp Lejeune, telling me that my time I spent in Camp Lejeune, I was poisoned by the water. And if I have any health that were on that list, which I had two, they're gonna take care of it and compensate me in some way.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just glad they admitted it. I'm just glad they admitted it.
Yeah, but they're probably not going to do anything about it. A friend of mine's son served 6 years in the Air Force. Did a tour in Iraq. He fueled jets. He comes out. He signs up for the GI Bill. And they had him, he got finished about a year of school, and all of a sudden they just cut off his funds and said, you owe us $2,000. And he said, what are you talking about? And they said, well, there's a clerical error. We know it, you really don't, but we're not going to give you anything until we can get this solved. It's been 3 years ago. Killed the guy's education. They don't care.
No.
The only thing I can say is when
I got out that... They took care of what I needed to get, the paperwork I needed to get my associate degree in metallurgy.
It was a different time then.
Yeah.
Then we had administrations that actually cared about GIs.
Right. Yeah, this guy don't. He's handing them umbrellas. You know, and at least once a week he gets up either on Air Force One or the helicopter, Marine One, and forgets to salute, or he's talking on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever missed saluting an officer?
No. In fact, you know, sometimes, you know, I work at the Navy base, and sometimes if I'm thinking about something, I see when I'm walk by, I give them a salute, and they just look at me, it's kind of funny, and then they see the sticker on, they see the sticker and the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor on my hard hat.
Yeah, It was raining real hard when I was on active duty. I was TDY up in Fort Lee, Virginia. It was raining so hard I had to take my glasses off. I couldn't see. And I walked by an LT and I didn't salute. And I paid the price. But I tell you, I was at MCRD a few months ago. A friend of mine's son graduated from boot camp. And I went there to see the parade with her and to go. And walking down there, every time I saw an officer pass by me, my right arm wanted to jump up.
Yeah. Yeah, me and another guy, when I first got stationed in California, we went down there to pick up some supplies. And we had chow, and then there was like six platoons of recruits. So we were fucking around outside, and I had them saluting the mailbox till an LT walked up behind us. And... we got our asses handed to us, and then by the time we got back, you can't beat Ma Bell. By the time we got back, the first sergeant was waiting for us at the motor pool.
Hey, have you ever read Chesty Puller's autobiography?
Yeah, about 15, 16 years ago.
That's about when I read it. There was one part that you might remember where Puller, I guess he was a bird colonel, was walking down the street, and a lieutenant, a butterbar, was ragging on some private, insisting the private keep saluting him. He said, Chesty went over and asked him what happened. The guy said, well, LT says this private failed to salute me, and I'm making him salute me 2,000 times or 5,000 times, you know, buku times. And, well, General Puller tells him, well, you know, let's make this thing realistic. The private has to learn. Every time he salutes you, you return that salute.
Uh-huh.
I thought
Absolutely.
That was terrific. That was some officer.
Yep. Yep. You know, my favorite quote from him is, we're completely surrounded, but that simplifies the problem.
Oh, yeah, but that was up at Chosin Reservoir?
Absolutely.
God, that's one thing I could not take is that kind of cold. That had to be too brutal.
No. I mean, I was born and raised in Chicago, so I know what the cold is like.
Yes, I almost froze to death in Chicago once, and it was just November, just walking from the car to the airplane. or to the actually the airport with that wind coming off the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born and bred in Minnesota, but I've been living the soft life in California since I was 9, so I've warmed up a bit. I like hot weather. That cold stuff is not for me.
Well, when I got stationed here in 86 and I found out I could ride my bike every day without a helmet and shit, I decided to stay.
And that's when they changed the law?
92.
Yeah, I'm thinking seriously within the next year or two of moving to Colorado.
Yeah,
I got to learn to ride in cold weather.
I was thinking about Montana myself.
Yeah, my son's in Colorado. That's why I want to go there. He was telling me that if I move there, he'll buy me one of those jacket liners that you plug into the bike.
Right, right.
And you get the gloves that plug into the jacket liner, so you can be fairly warm while you're riding in winter.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to be careful with the snow and stuff over there because that black ice just jumps out at you.
Yeah, well, he'll teach me. He likes to rag on me. Hey, he's out in your area. Wave at him if you see him. You know that fire they got out by Julian?
Right.
Yeah, his crew's on that one now.
Okay. Let me...
Yeah, I'm going to have to run and have me some dinner. Great talking with you. Hopefully I'll see you Sunday.
Yeah, you'll see me Sunday.
Okay, take care, Phil.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Miles. Yeah, that was one of my good friends there, Miles. He's a nice guy.
Miles. Miles Neiman, is that his last name?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's in a coffee group with a mutual friend of ours that started it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never spoken to him on the phone. I didn't realize that was him. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello? Oh.
Yeah, I was letting you talk.
No, they just said I was now off the host queue. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, they're screwing with us.
No, I know. He's in a coffee group that I'm in. But I've never heard him talk before. I mean, is he a nice man? I've never, well, of course, I would meet him. He's out by you.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Good. He seems like it.
He's a real nice guy.
Yeah.
And every time he sees me, he says, thank you for doing what I do. And they just knocked me out of the thing. Hold on. I got
out. Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. They
can
just,
you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
These are crazy-ass people. You know, I could see if we were doing something wrong. We're not doing anything wrong.
That's the problem with these clowns. You know, if I was doing anything that I'm not allowed to do because of the Constitution, then I could see it. All right, we're back. They're just checking shit here and there. What's driving me nuts with these guys. Every time I turn around.
I know. I was going to post up that there is a tornado warning in a county not far from me, and it won't let me do it. And then I had a friend of mine that I grew up with and went to school with, you know. I said, can you do me a favor? It's not letting me do this. Can you put this on my wall? So people that I know would pay attention, you know what I mean? Because it's not like they're at TVs right now. And so he's like, I can't do it either. I'm like, what the hell? So they're not just messing with the show. They mess with everything else.
Yeah, let me play this real quick. But is also an Obama's health care bill. So when you go to the doctor, they're going to give you a chip.
Yeah.
It's lots of care for the people that were disadvantaged. I'm now a kindergarten teacher, so I'll be 9.
You don't have to be.
I wanted to ask you, friends of ours that live in France have a medical card, and there is a chip on it that has all of their medical information from birth to whatever age they are. That scared me, frankly, because I said to them, well, how is the government knowing all of your business from cradle to grave? I believe our country was founded on independence, and I think we can all agree on this, whether you're Democrat or Republican. I think it's important that we have privacy between our doctor and our health records, and it shouldn't be shared with the government.
Governor Dean?
And if you could tell me under what moral jurisdiction the Constitution allows you to do that.
First of all, since this is the last one, let me thank all of you on both sides. I happen to think I think everybody actually behaved pretty well. This is kind of a spirited American tradition, and I appreciate it, and I thank you very, very much, all of you. Secondly, the interesting thing about this is one of the biggest problems in medicine was just raised in the last question. It's sort of like the psychiatry patient asking the really tough one on their way out the door so nobody can deal with it. This is a huge issue, and it's much more than about just this health care bill, because this isn't just about health care. You don't want the government knowing all your health information. You're not so crazy about having the insurance industry or your bank knowing all your information either, which then gets sent to all these credit card companies, and that's why you get all this junk mail. So this is a much bigger issue than health care, and health care is a pretty big issue. Here's what folks are struggling with, and I don't think this is one's cooked, and I'm going to give, of course, Jim the last word, but we want to have records that are complete, and patients get cared for better if the doctor who's taking care of them know that it's complete. And so the president put in a lot of money in the stimulus package to advance medical records, so that if you get sick in some place that's 1,000 miles from your home, you can get, if you have the chip, you can carry the records with you. They can stick it in the computer. They can know all your situations. If you've been in a terrible car accident and you can't tell them anything, you have the doctor has the information. They know if you're on some kind of medication, et cetera. That's important. So what guards are there against the privacy? And the guards are a bill that was passed about 6 or 8 years ago called HIPAA, which stands for God knows what, but it has something to do with health insurance for privacy. The problem is it's not enough, and there is no way it's enough. And this is a private sector problem as well as a government problem. Look, just the other day, there was some guy hacked into some credit card companies and stole 130 million credit card numbers. Those are our credit card information that's now in some crook's hands. So there is no really good answer to this, because in this information age, there's going to be more information available than most of us, at least in my generation, who didn't grow up on Facebook, would ever be comfortable in having in other people's hands. On the other hand, the more information that your healthcare professionals have, the better it is. So the key is this is an open question, because I don't think anybody knows the right answer to this. How are we going to build a wall between particularly the government, but also corporate America, and ourselves, so that our private information stays private? But there are people who need to know our private information, and one of them is the healthcare professional that's taking care of us. So this is a great question, unfortunately, for which there is no perfect answer. So I'm sorry to leave on that kind of a note. Let me thank you again. I've actually enjoyed this, and I hope Jim has too.
Let me conclude where we began by thanking all of you. This is important. And as with every major transformative struggle that our society and economy has gone through, whether it was Social Security of the 1930s, whether it was the civil rights struggles of the 1960s, this should be difficult. Because it's important. It affects everyone, and we're certainly not going to get it right unless we hear from all sides. So I thank all of you for coming. Thank you for participating, and it was helpful. And it was certainly helpful to me. Thank you.
Now, those of you who did not get a chance to ask a question, I'm sorry. I hope that some of the questions that were asked represented what you would have asked had you had the opportunity. Thank you all very much.
Well, that wasn't as bad as it could have been.
That's great.
Is Obama himself going to tell you about this one?
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
We both share the view.
They checked with that one real quick. Hang on.
Yes, that means making some adjustments to protect healthcare programs like Medicare so they're there for future generations. It also means reforming our tax code so that the wealthiest Americans and biggest corporations pay their fair share. And it means getting rid of taxpayer subsidies to oil and gas companies and tax loopholes that help billionaires pay a lower tax rate than teachers and nurses. I've said it before, I will say it again. We can't balance the budget on the backs of the very people who have borne the biggest brunt of this recession. Everyone's going to have to chip in. Only fair. That's the principle I'll be fighting for during the next phase of this process. And in the coming months, I'll continue also to fight for what the American people care most about. New jobs, higher wages, and faster economic growth.
Pope Benedict XVI and his security detail will reportedly begin using RFID technology to begin tracking priests and employees of the Vatican. The move to use the tracking technology comes after the Pope's butler stole sensitive documents from his apartment last year and gave them to the news media. Meanwhile, the Vatican will begin tracking its employees next month.
Microchip that could one day be implanted under the skin of every single American.
Now, I'm watching this video. I'm going to put the link so you guys can check this out. This guy's sitting at a table. Just a plain card table with a bottle of iodine and a thing of swabs that aren't even sealed. And he's grabbing them, and now he's going to put it in this guy's arm.
Oh, my God.
Yep. This is from this year.
Isn't it, like, unsanitary?
Yeah. I just can't believe what the fuck I'm looking at this guy doing here.
Is that ready?
It goes right in your hand, right in the fleshy part of the skin between your thumb and your first finger.
Wow.
That he's going to use, put a chip in a dog. Same thing.
No, I saw videos on this.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Guys are going to tell you why you should refuse to be microchipped. attack me again.
More now, well, our special coverage here tonight, life in the U.S. in 10 years' time. By that time, there may be all kinds of new ways to safeguard and identify all those things that make each of us unique, our faces, even our fingerprints, even our eyes. Here now with more on the future of technology, NBC's Tom Costello.
The year is 2017. You're rushed to a hospital, unconscious with no ID or medical history, but thanks to a microchip under your skin, it's all there. Science fiction 20 years ago, but a biometric reality today.
The technology is based on answering one simple question. Am I who I say I am?
Already, fingerprints and iris scans verify passenger identities at airports. Within 10 years, that technology may be even more widespread. And look for more complex facial recognition programs that scan a crowd of thousands looking for a single terrorist. Today's facial recognition software starts with the eyes. Then it maps out the contours of the face and compares that against a database of millions, a database that's growing by the day. What's next? At the University of Bath in England, researchers predict big changes for consumers.
I think it is possible to free us completely of our wallets and keys using biometric technology, if that's what people want in 10 years' time.
In fact, it's already here. The latest home security locks use fingerprints to control deadbolts. And at the Jewel Osco grocery store in Chicago, some customers pay using their fingerprints. No paper or plastic.
You don't really need anything other than your hand, and you already got that with you.
So will future department stores scan our irises, like in the movie Minority Report, then offer products catered to who we are?
Hello, Mr. Yakamoto. Welcome back to the Gap.
Experts say that technology is here now. The challenge is to safeguard our privacy in a brave new world. Tom Costello, NBC News, Alexandria, Virginia.
I can't believe this shit.
This is what I know about the chips, because I've done a lot of research on it as well. And if they now, this also starts to stem with the Obama health care, okay? Now, in small print, in what you sign with Obama Healthcare, you're allowing them to microchip you. So, if you get microchipped, all your bank information, your medical information, everything will be on there. So, they know exactly what everything is about you, which a lot of people don't know and they don't understand. They also have where if you refuse to be microchipped, you can be detained by Homeland Security.
Yep. It's just like at work. We in the last 3 weeks, everybody's got to go get a new ID because the ID has it that they can track you where you're at on the base.
Right.
731, go ahead.
This is the government's way of tracking people is when they get microchipped. Now, like I said, I don't know if you, now here's the iffy part of it. If you refuse and they allow you to refuse being microchipped, that means for your food, your medical, and everything else is going to be very limited compared to if you were microchipped. Understand that concept because I don't get it. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's pretty sad how they want to make this mandatory because we're not a cat. We're not a dog. The reason why animals get microchipped is if they get lost, they are chipped to the owner's address, phone number, you know. So if somebody finds them, they scan them, bam. You know, it's a handheld scanner. Same thing if a person is microchipped. So if people in Chicago are already using their hands to scan for food and everything else, how many more are out there that we don't know about?
Yeah. 731, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Is that you, Little Miss Stormy? Or how you been?
That'd be me. I've been good. How about you?
Not bad. Sometimes it's good to be me.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
How's the music coming along?
It's going good. It's been going just a little bit slow because I've been fighting school and everything like that. Been doing good with that, though. I'm fixing to pick up and start back on all my gigging and all that stuff here with summer. So everything's going good.
Good. You got anything new you wanna get out there, send it to me and we'll play it for you.
All right, I certainly will. I'm hoping. I've actually got some new songs collected up, you know. Every time I talk to y'all, I'm sure y'all think, gosh, it takes her a long time to look for songs, but I'm extremely picky, and it's a long process. But I've got me a few that I'm wanting to get back in the studio with and really hopeful for, so fingers crossed I can get something worked out with all of that.
I don't think it's in the regard of you being picky. I think it's just how your style is and how you feel is what you want to always portray through your music. And that's what people look at, you know. So picky, I don't think you are. You're just, you want to go in a direction that you're comfortable with and not something that you
that's
want.
That's exactly it. You know, I mean, I chalk it up to pickiness, but that's exactly it. You know, I don't want to sing anything that doesn't come across as anything but me. You know,
right.
I want to be myself. I don't want to portray myself as something different.
Exactly.
And, you know,
so
a lot of the writing in Nashville is a lot of formula writing, and it's all based on the very same thing. I actually have this one friend that's a writer, and he is absolutely amazing, but he worked for this publishing house in Nashville, and he sat down and in a week wrote like 100 songs about the same topic. That's what's wrong with country music. It's all about the same thing. So, I mean, you know, I like to pick songs that have a little bit of meaning to them and, you know, people can get up and dance around and have fun, too.
Well, let me shift gears here. You're coming into your adulthood.
Well,
yes and no.
Certainly,
I said sometimes yes, sometimes no. I feel the same way. I'm a lot older than you, and I feel like I'm a teenager again sometimes. But with all this stuff
that's
going on,
I am legally becoming completely of age. I'm going to be turning 20 this year, but I'm certainly aware of the fact that I'm a young pup, and I'm still got a lot of learning to do and everything. So, you know, I'm very aware I am young and everything, got a lot of learning, got a lot of time. So just day at a time.
You're the ones that have to do some, that have to tell the other ones that we need to do something about this, because basically all the kids that I talk to don't. Oh man, I ain't got time for that shit. Well, better make time.
Well, you know, being a country girl, you know, it's a little different than a lot of the kids out there in California, I guess. I have an extreme pride in my country and being a country girl and doing all those country things. I have a great pride for the land that I live on. And
I'm talking about sailors and Marines on active duty right now.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm getting towards. You know, I have a extreme appreciation for the military and country pride and stuff like that, and it kind of is really saddening to see my generation just be completely non-complacent with the whole government thing and the way that everything's going down. Just to put it that way, you know, it's, I've got a bunch of friends that are in the service, and that's, I admire every single one of them. It's a very brave thing to do.
Yeah. The only thing is they're more worried about what time they get off so they can go down to wherever and hang out instead of worried about what they're going to do to them in the end. Because right now they're already getting the chips. They've been getting the chips since 93.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I certainly wouldn't want a chip put all up in my body and everything like that. But, you know, I'm a pretty good kid, and I keep my nose pretty clean, so I don't have too much to hide. So if they feel like I'm enough of a threat that they need to be checking into me, they have heard some bad information trying to follow me around. They're going to be extremely bored with the reports that they get. She walked out in the backyard and watered her garden. I mean, I don't really, I guess I can see some people, you know, like all of these little foreign people.
Well, that would depend on what you're growing
school.
In the garden.
That's very true, too. That's very true, too, yeah.
Why are you blushing now?
Huh?
Why are you blushing now?
Gosh, can you see through this phone? Technology really has advanced. No,
I can tell you where you're standing right now, but that's another story.
Oh, gosh.
But no, it's going to get worse because everybody, when they start instituting this Obamacare this year, everybody's going to, if you don't buy into it, you're going to get taxed. And possibly you'll be committing a felony if they get the wording right and everything passes. But,
well, from what I understand, everybody that disagrees is already getting taxed by the IRS, aren't they?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm paying an extra $178 a week in taxes for that shit.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm hoping all this stuff coming out about the IRS and that woman, what is her name, the woman that's all wrapped up in the IRS scandal. She looks like the church lady off of SNL.
Ball guy.
Huh?
No, the female, Phil.
The
female. I didn't mean her to fall guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They all look like a bunch of characters to me. The one Steve Miller looks just like Craig Ferguson off of the late night show, and that woman looks like the church lady. I posted a picture on my Facebook comparing the two, and it's hilariously similar. But I don't know. I don't trust any of them.
This guy did this in 2005. It's from 8 years ago. Listen to this.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same Bigfoot they used to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe all day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream. Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
The guy got it right.
Absolutely.
Everybody,
it's like everybody's walking around with lights on, no one's home. Everybody needs to kind of just wake up and see what's going on.
That's it, because if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Well, I don't know. I just know that whenever I get the chance to vote and everything, I exercise my right as an American citizen to vote for who I feel is the best choice for this country. And, I mean, I don't buy into the whole processed food thing. Yeah, you got to go to the grocery store and you got to get some of it. There's no just completely escaping it without being really odd about it. But I've got my little garden. I eat healthy and I sing, and I sing for charities, and I help out the people that need it, and the people that don't, that still ask for all that help, I just say, bless your heart, and turn the other cheek.
Right.
That's just the best thing that you can do whenever you're around here, because, I mean, things are a little bit different out in the country. I mean, you know, honestly, a lot of the military people now, it's not like it was back, well, a while ago, where, you know, you had people from all classes joining the military because it was an honorable thing. You've got all these people from rural communities, and that's from everywhere, that are enlisting in the military and doing it just as an easy means to get by or a way to get through school. And
they're jacking
they're
denying their benefits for school and people getting out because of the sequester.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a shame, and that's why people don't care as much about the military, because all those big uppity families that, like that dude said in that tape that you just played, you know, they own everything. Their son and their niece and their grandson and their cousin, they're not going off over to war. We've got all these little rural country boys and girls that are going over there serving the country and protecting them so that they can rip everybody off, have the right to rip everybody off. So, I mean, if they got a healthy dose of what that was like, maybe they would start respecting it. But don't see that happening anytime soon without a draft. And, I mean, let's pray that doesn't happen, but because that would be bad for everybody, and that would be, it would be a shame, but it would probably wake them up as to the conditions of the military. And, you know, while it's a very honorable thing, our troops don't get treated right. So,
no.
Maybe it would change something.
Even, you know, 2 weeks ago, I belonged to the American Legion, and they have a writing club. Guy was leaving for Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
So they went down to the one of the eateries downtown, and they had their American Legion vests on. For lay people, anybody rides a bike, we call them a cut. Anyway, it was the American Legion Post 146, and they were denied to come into the restaurant unless they took off their vests and hang them on the back
That's
of the chair.
That's a damn shame.
Yeah.
That's a damn shame. I mean.
And the guy they took there was leaving for Afghanistan the next day. So they took him out for his last night, to little camaraderie and everything, you know, send him off with a, you know, people that care about him, and they just destroyed it. They just destroyed it.
Well, say, again, that wouldn't happen in a rural community. I can understand maybe something like that happening out there because, you know, it's a little different unless you're in a rural community out there. Everybody knows everybody, and, I mean, that'd just be a good way to get an ass whooping if you ask somebody to do that around here. I mean, I don't know. I guess everybody needs a little bit of dose of that.
And the bad part is that the town that Bill and I live in, which, by the way, Bill went to a thing with the new Veterans Center. They had a veterans thing over there all day Saturday. And he asked me if I was going to go. I said, nah. He goes, why? I said, because, one, all right, the mayor's going to be there. We like the mayor. He's got an open-door policy with Bill and I. Now, the chief of police, different story. As well as all the other clowns that were with him at this event. So I didn't want to go. I got one coming up this Saturday on the 1st for the down officers run, which Bill and I support. And I don't think I'm going to go this year. I have no animosity against police. I just have animosity against the ones that don't do it right.
Exactly. They're there to protect and serve, and they need to start doing their job instead of harassing and incriminating.
Yep.
Just because somebody's wearing a piece of leather on their back, or they dress a little differently, or they might say a few things that you disagree with, well,
God. Or they're riding a Harley-Davidson.
Exactly. Well, so me. I thought we were in a free country and we could do anything that we want to as long as it's not unconstitutional.
You know, and the funny part is most of these guys are all vets, and they took it all to defend the Constitution to the best of their abilities, like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing what I do to irritate them, but I'm doing it the right way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, making your voice heard, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And, you know, if they feel that something is wrong with it, they need to speak up and, you know, say something themselves. Get the discussion out there. At least people will be talking about it. That's better than nothing. I mean,
true.
Just going on with your daily life, pretending that life's all Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and who's at the gym that day and who was on this TV show. I mean, good God. Who pays attention to that really anymore? That, I mean, none of it's really significant.
No.
It's
not
just
anymore.
This one's on drugs and this one made a sex tape and this one bought some new makeup and who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's a lot bigger things going on. Our government's screwing us over. We got people overseas dying for our freedom, and we're wasting it talking about Kim Kardashian and Kanye West having a baby. Big deal.
Well, that's like right now, all the people in California that what's that check you get from the government when you lose your job? Unemployment.
Yeah.
All the small businesses are going to get increased to pay that tax to make up the $8 billion deficit that California has, but yet they say the economy is growing and we're getting more jobs. From where?
Why don't y'all just all move to Kentucky and Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia and places like that and just get out of there?
Because as soon as I'm able to get the fuck out of here when I retire, I'm going to Australia.
Well, that sounds like a fun place. Go play with some dingoes.
There are dingoes, but I can ride. Trust me, there ain't nothing a full tank of gas won't cure.
Absolutely. Absolutely, but no, it worries me seeing the country going the way it is and seeing my generation and the generation a little bit older than me and certainly the generation under me that's just like, whatever. I got me a new smartphone. Life's good.
Exactly.
Just completely oblivious to the world around them.
Exactly. But, hey, what I want you to do, if you're not busy Thursday and you got something you want to, you got a new song or something you already cut, send it to me. We'll play it.
I don't have anything just really new right now, but I'll certainly be glad to call on and talk.
Yeah. We'll surprise the old guy. He'll be here Thursday.
All right. That would be good.
Yeah. And then what I'm going to do is I'm gonna take off a little early because they're trying to play 2-3 songs here, and I got them on mute. They're screwing with the server again. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this one. It's called I Am the Darkness by Mike P. And
okay.
And we'll talk to you Thursday. Nora, we'll talk
All
to you
right.
Thursday. And everybody out there, thanks for tuning in and listening. And don't forget, you can go to the archives and you can download this for free and play it again.
All
but this
right.
One is
well,
called
I better get in there and eat dinner. Mama's going to whoop my butt.
Okay. Tell her I said hello.
I will. I'll talk to you Thursday. Everybody have a good night.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
I am the darkness. Fresh out the shoot, 24 locked down. Far from home and nowhere, no bound. In the pack with my pants on my back. Man, I know the coppers don't like that. What's up? Keep on riding. Pulling on my chopper, down and gliding. Fresh out of jail, doing a wheelie up the gates of hell. Come on.
Good night, everybody.